All right. Amen. Take your seats. Open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I have been getting ready for this series for a little bit, and this is 3 weeks for Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be talking about God's purpose. God's purpose today would be for day 7. But I'm going to start off by asking a question, rhetorical if it be. When you leave the day of your workplace, whether it's an office or whether it's or whatever you may do, have you been able to complete that day's work? Or have you gotten to the point where, you know what, you're at the end of the day and you realize, you know what, I got too much to do. I'm just going to push that off till tomorrow. I just can't get it all done. Or it could even be a project that you're working on. Maybe it's a project at home that you want to get it started. You start it and you want to get it finished, but somehow it just doesn't finish. And one of the reasons why is that we feel sometimes like there is not enough time in a day. So we run out of time. And so when you would hear that word rest, if you hear the word rest, that word is a little bit foreign to you. And the reason it's foreign to you is because you haven't been able to do that or even do that on a regular basis. Now, if you've said yes to that, or if you, maybe that hasn't happened to you, but I think maybe you can understand, you can relate to that and to my point. You see, the thing about it is that we just don't take time out for ourselves, or do we? Because we think that we have so much more that needs to be done that we can never say, my day is completed. I'm finished. Everything's done. And even though on occasion you might be able to do that, but on a regular basis that's not possible. And today as we start chapter 2 of Genesis, and if you look at your chapter 2, the beginning of it, a lot of your, there's headings on the top of that chapter. And most of them say in some storm of lines, day 7, God rests. So, but what did he rest from? So think about that. Well, Genesis 2 is going to let us know that. So let me go ahead and read the first three verses that we're going to be talking about today. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you again just for this wonderful day. And we thank you for the word of God. Father God, as we hear today and we hear and we want to hear from you, Father God. So, Father God, I pray that they don't see me or hear me, but they see you. Hide me behind that cross. So, Father God, that the words that I speak will be your words. May we honor it with our hearts. And may we bless it with our souls. And we ask in your name. Amen. So verse 1, all right, so Moses, what he's doing is he starts by reiterating all that creation was done. And it was done, it was complete in 6 days. Nothing ongoing, there's nothing left incomplete, like basically nothing left on your desk for the following day. Everything was completed on that day. Nothing that is evolving any further. And the reason why I say that is because today modern science teaches that us that evolution is still continuing. Evolution is telling us it's ongoing. Evolution tells us it's never, the work of creation is never complete. But as Pastor Darrell has said in the past, this is directly contrary to the Word of God, and it's directly wrong with the word in the book of Genesis where we are today. And that leads us to today's message. And when we talk about rest, it means something different for each of us. But for God, it only has one meaning. See, Webster will define rest as a freedom to get rest from activity or labor. So today I want to focus really on three key words in this scripture that we have today. And I want to not only focus on them, but I want to give a significance for them for us. The three words, I'm going to give you ahead of time, are rest, blessed, and holy. There are three key words that we're going to talk about today. But before we get started, I want to point out three things that are very distinctive about this seventh day. The first thing, There is no mention of evening and morning on day seven. Meaning that God's Sabbath rest would have no end. Number two, there is no record that He blessed any other of the other 6 days. But God did bless the seventh day. And number three, after blessing the seventh day, God made it holy. He sanctified it, which means He set it apart for His own special purposes. So let's get started with the first word. The first word is rest. God marked out the 7 day week. He set one side a day for Himself. Here's the thing. Every living thing that God has created lives a day at a time, except us. And we were created in His image. You see, we rush around this frantic rat race of what we call life. And we always plan the rest, but we never seem to fulfill those plans. Someone once said that most people in the world are being crucified between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. And that's why they can't enjoy today. You see, Pastor Dale spent a few weeks on it. We know that God had done many awesome things when He did in the first 6 days. But here's the thing about it. The climax of creation week was God's rest after His work. The Hebrew word here for rest is Shabbat, which means to cease. It's the root word that we get when we talk about Sabbath. And we're going to talk about Sabbath in just a few minutes. But what does it mean that it says that God rested from His work? I mean, do you really think that God really needed to rest after creating 6 days? I mean, do you think that He got tired, that He sat down and the rest on that seventh day and said, "Woo, man, this is a big week. It took me more than 40 hours to put this world together. I need the rest." No. We read that He certainly didn't need the rest. He simply abstained from further creative work. By doing that, it also established the pattern for man's work cycle. See, God's rest was the rest of completion. He was pleased, He was satisfied, He delighted in what He had created. So no, it wasn't the rest because He was exhausted. Because God never gets weary. Isaiah 40:28 on the screen says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." But that's not all, right? It also says in Psalm 121:4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." God is always at work, church. He's always at work. But did you know that God didn't work again until the third chapter? That's when Adam and Eve fell and God had to go to work. So what's the first thing that God did? Look at verse 21 of chapter 3. I'm not going to spend any time on it because that's going to be Pastor Darrell's spot to do. But just look what he did. What's the first thing He did here? "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins, and He clothed them." See, we need to understand that when God created this world, and we got to the seventh day, you don't see any of those verses, those three verses, anything about people resting. Right? There's nothing here about man resting. Because what? He, at the time, was without sin. He was a perfect man in every sense. And because He was without sin, and being a perfect man in every sense, there was no loss of energy when He was doing whatever the simple tending of the garden called for. See, there's no need to have a day of rest for Him. What would He rest from? He's living in paradise with basically no labor. Now, we need to understand, the labor that we do today is not the same labor that it was back then. And I can tell you now that you will keep working even after you die. When we get to heaven, there will be jobs for all of us to do. But it won't be the same. Today, a lot of us, we dread to have to go to work. But we got to pay the bills. We got to put food on the table. But all that will be provided for us. But we still have to do things. But it won't be the same way. Without the sweat and without the exaltation. And we did a saying that God, in the Garden of Eden, God was the generous giver of all that man and woman needed. They had everything there. And then they, as well as us, we must acknowledge Him by what? Worshipping the Creator and not the creation. But if you remember, at the beginning, I mentioned there was something omitted that the other 6 days of creation had. Evening and morning. Now, in most cases in Scripture, when you see something there all the time, all of a sudden it just goes away, there's got to be a reason. There's a design. This wasn't done by accident, right? Because everything in this account, everything that's talked about is God's Word, and He doesn't make any mistakes. Nothing's there. Everything was well planned out. So what was God trying to say without actually saying it? Okay, so we know He simply that He ceased it. He created, He ceased creating, and then, as it was, sitting back and just being satisfied with what He had created. Think about that for a moment. He was enjoying it, right? Look at verse 31 of chapter 1. And God saw that everything He had made, and behold, it was very good. He, God, was delighting in it. Just think about this for a second. To God, how refreshing must it have been that here He's, and how delightful that He has been, and how well pleased God must have been when He saw this created universe free from sin. Right? He's free from the curse. He's free from decay. There was no death. When He looked up and saw these blue skies, and they were just perfect, pristine color. And then at nighttime, these sparkling stars just stood out. I mean, everything He just created was awesome. And then these sands that were just covered into beautiful white sands and the oceans, no pollution. You could see to the bottom. Not like you can now, unless you went deep south. But just imagine how clear that was. Imagine these majestic trees that were forming a stage, so as the birds and the fish and the animals, and they were all just romping through this whole garden without any fear, because you didn't kill. There was no need to kill. So they walk without fear. Now today, you get too close to a deer, that deer's looking, and if it looks like you're going to do something, it's darting off. But back then, you would walk among them. You would just be with them. Imagine God seeing that. How much God must have delighted when He walked through the garden and fellowshiped with man. I mean, think about that. He fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. What a delight it must have been. And God must have delighted in the fact that everything that man needed, everything that was there, already provided for him. Everything necessary was there for Adam and Eve. And this was the seventh day. Now, I can tell you, in my own thing, I can't build things. And when I build things, I put it backwards. If the right says put it on the right side, I put it on the left. If the left says put it on the left, I put it on the right. It's always there. When I look at it, I start putting it together. I get frustrated. My wife can attest to this. And what happens is, I get so aggravated. So then I have to stop. I got to start over again. But then I finally get it to look. And I have to admit, I'll go by his head and I'll say, man, that was a good job. Man, I'm glad I put that thing together. That was really good. And that's just a minute little thing of what God looked back and said, look what I did. This is awesome. But the reason he didn't say evening and morning is because it didn't end in 24 hours, did it? Actually, God's delight wouldn't end until when? Sin came. See, the conditions and the characteristics of that seventh day were designed by God to continue, and they would have continued had it not been for the sin of Adam and Eve. And we know that it wasn't God's design they would eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know that, and bring that curse. It wasn't God who prompted them to do that, to destroy the paradise. And the entry of sin devastated Eden's perfection. It devastated mankind of sin. As the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have been a separation between you and your God. But the seventh day did have an evening and morning, because the cycle of days began in creation. But the seventh day, this 24-hour period, only established that period of time after God have created, in which He delights. And again, we don't know how long that was, because we don't know how long it was until man sinned. And we're going to talk more about rest in a minute when we get to the Sabbath. But the second key word I want to talk about is blessed. It says in verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day. The seventh day was like a memorial. as a remembrance. The seventh day God took that day and he said, I'm going to bless this day. I'm going to pull this day apart. I'm going to lift it up. I'm going to elevate it. I'm going to set it apart as a reminder that in 6 days I created the universe. It didn't evolve. It isn't evolving. It's not randomly creating itself. God said the creation was done, and I set apart the seventh day to be a day in which you and I will acknowledge that creation was done. And this is very important for us to understand. And I really believe that what God was introducing this day was a day to be elevated above all other days as a memorial, as to remember the glory of God's perfection in creation. And every seventh day from here on out would be a reminder that God in 6 days created this universe in perfection. And like Pastor Darrell said a few weeks ago, there is no rational reason. There is no mathematical reason. There is no scientific reason for weeks. Why in the world do we occupy our lives in weeks? And why 7 days? Because if you try to do the math, 365 divided by 7 does not come out evenly. And that's why there's some days you have 30 days, and some days you have 31. And let's not forget about February, and depending on the leap year, where you have 28 or 29 days. Why is all that? No one would purposely do that. So why in the world do we operate in sevens? I'm going to tell you, there's only one reason, and it's because God established that order because of creation. No other way. No other reason. In every week of our lives, as we go through a cycle that is intended by God to remind us that He created the world in 6 days and what? He rested. And every time a seventh day passes, we also should be acknowledge God as our Creator. That is a memorial to become to a completed creation. And here's the thing. To reject God as Creator and to reject the 6 day creation is to quote unquote unbless the seventh day. So to deny God His true identity as Creator is to rob Him of the glory due to His name. The third word that I want to look at. We've seen rest, we've seen blessed, and we want to look at the third word is that He made it holy. Again in verse 3, he says, so God blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy. This day was set apart. God said it. He made it holy. When God gave us the commandments, He said what? To remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the root word means to separate, or maybe even better, I've just alluded to it earlier, to turn into a vertical concept, to elevate it. Right? It's a separation that elevates, or maybe even word the word exalt. So here, for the first time, we come across the idea of something being separated by being elevated. That is, God designates that the seventh day as an exalted day. A day lifted above all of the other days. God commanded Israel, and He commands all humanity, to make sure that there was sacred time in their life to set ourselves apart for the service of God. This was God's special day. And even though we worship Him on the Sabbath, should that be the only day? Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians, or so-called Christians, who do exactly that. They go to church on Sunday, and they worship Him, and they live, they speak the words, but in their hearts, they're just as corrupt as the next person. And so that other 6 days, they live like they worship the devil. Let me just talk about the Sabbath. When we look at our text today, I want you to see something. There's no mention of the Sabbath being a law. There's no mention of Sabbath being a day of worship. The first time the Sabbath was mentioned in some significant way is the 16th chapter of Exodus. And that's when God feeds the people the manna. And they collect manna every day of the week. But on Sunday, before that, the day before the seventh day, they told them to collect twice as much. Why did they do that? So they wouldn't have to work on that seventh day. And what happens is, what you're seeing here is a preview of what's coming. Because in the 20th chapter, we get the Ten Commandments. And we get to chapter 4. Chapter 20, verse 4. And the verse says this: remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God, your God. On it you shall do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. So why did God say remember? Because to forget the Sabbath, the true Sabbath, is to forget the true Creator. And this is very important for us that we understand that the Sabbath was not established for man in Genesis. It was established officially in Exodus and the Law of Moses. I want you guys to turn to Exodus chapter 31. This next book over, go to 31. Down at verse 12, I'm going to read. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all you shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is Sabbath, a solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Imagine how many dead people would be if this was still in play. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout the generations as a covenant forever. Why? Because verse 17, it's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Here we find that the Sabbath is a sign. It's a sign. In other words, it points to something else. It's a symbol, if you will. It's a place in the middle, or near the middle, if you will, of the Ten Commandments, because it's a symbol connected to the Mosaic Covenant. Let me explain. When God made a covenant with Noah, he promised Noah that he would never destroy the world again with flood, right? And God identified it with a sign. That sign of the Noah covenant was what? We all know it as a rainbow. So when God made a covenant with Abraham, he made the covenant with Abraham and it designated a sign for that. And the sign of the Abrahamic covenant, participation among the covenant people of Israel, talking to Israel, was that a sign of circumcision. These are the covenants that he made. So here we have the Mosaic covenant. And there was another sign. And the sign this time is a Sabbath. It was only a sign. But you need to know that this was unique for the people of Israel. But, as we've seen when we went through the book of Matthew, when Jesus came, everything changed. Right? We began to understand it by watching Jesus and how he treated the Sabbath. So how did Jesus treat the Sabbath? We don't have time to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 12, it said, basically says that Jesus went into the grain fields on the Sabbath, right? His disciples became hungry. They began to eat the grains and eat. They were eaten away, right? So when the Pharisees had seen this, they said, I'm paraphrasing, of course, hey, your disciples are doing exactly what they're not supposed to be. They're doing something unlawful. Why is that? Why? Because they were doing it on the Sabbath. So what did Jesus come back and say? And I'm paraphrasing. I'll give you something even worse than that. You think that's bad? Well, guess what? David and his men, they ate the showbread. And let me tell you something else. Or have you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? In other words, you make a big issue of not working on the Sabbath, but guess what? You are not working. All the priests are working, and they're carrying all of the offerings and all of the sacrifices. So Jesus, rather than just consenting and just going along with them about their concern over a violation of the Sabbath, what he does, he points to other violations of the Sabbath that they're doing. But what has God said about it? Look what it says in Mark. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God designed the Sabbath to be a blessing, to bring rest, to bring a day in the week when you and I could thank God for the glory of His creation and also be made aware that paradise had been lost. It was a day to show gratitude for the creation and a day to repent, to seek forgiveness. It was right in the middle of the law, like I said, because they lived in violation of that law, if not actively in their hearts. What do I mean by that? Because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you do these things in your heart, it's as you already committed these sins. So our Lord has given the Sabbath to be a blessing to man, to give him rest from his work. A taste of Eden, if you will, where all was rest before the fall. To give him an opportunity to thank God for the creation, and then to examine his life against the law. Because if we look at what we do, remember, the Ten Commandments are not something you follow. It is impossible to follow the Ten Commandments. And they weren't given us to follow, they were given us a guideline. This is God's perfection. This is what God would want. If you were perfect, you would do these things, and we're not. But we strive to do those things. And then when we see that we fail those things, among other things, what we do is we repent. We seek forgiveness. And the result of doing that, the result of seeking repentance and seeking forgiveness is that we get the result of that is the joy and peace and salvation. But it's also given us to serve God. How many times do we read that Jesus was doing good on the Sabbath? Not for himself, but others. Let me just read Matthew 12, 9 through 14. He went on there from the end of the synagogue, and a man there was a withered hand, and they asked him, is it lawful to heal the Sabbath? Now, this is a Pharisee, so the scripture says they might accuse him. And Jesus said to them, which one of you has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? In other words, he's saying, look, Pharisees, you consider this work, so you would just let your sheep just die? No, you would go get it out. So he goes, so how much more value is a man than a sheep? See, our society, we got things backwards. We put more value in animals than we do human beings. You don't want to know why? Just look at the portions. Oh, that eagle, that's sacred. Don't kill it. But a newborn baby we're going to kill. We, the world, society, has it backwards. Because Jesus says, how much more do you put value in a man than a sheep? So he goes, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. We need to understand that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is greater than the Sabbath. You see, the problem is the Pharisees, they were strict Sabbath keepers. And by doing that, they missed the whole point of the Sabbath. See, they found no rest whatsoever in their endless efforts of work at salvation. They thought you got to work to get your salvation. They found no real honest repentance. The Sabbath laws were just shadows of hope to them, a weekly reminder that there was a paradise to be regained, and it was through the means of righteousness. They couldn't get that. There could be a rest with endless struggle and a horrible burden of trying to earn salvation. This is what the Pharisees needed to give, and they weren't getting it because it's all about rituals and all about laws and keeping them. And see, when Jesus came, he brought the rest. He brought this true rest. The child of God, if you are born again, if you are a follower of Christ, you are now a new person. And under the new covenant, you are healed. We are healed and we are washed and we are found and we have been accepted by our loving Lord and Savior Christ. And we've entered into a rest with none other than the Creator Himself that we can call Father. And we have been given righteousness. And you know what? We should rejoice in that gift. We cease all effort to try to earn salvation. But the question comes up, when should we observe the Sabbath? Well, there's a common error in the Sabbath-keeping debate. And that's the concept that the Sabbath is a day of worship. See, groups at the Seventh-day Adventists, they hold that God requires church service to be held on Saturday, which would be the Sabbath day. Remember, that's not what the Sabbath command was. The Sabbath command was to do no work on the Sabbath. Now, we, modern-day Christianity, we typically worship, we keep the Sabbath on Sunday because we come to church, we sing songs, hear a message, we tithe, which are all acts of worship, and then what we do, usually go home and rest. But if we look through the scriptures, we see something a little entirely differently. I'm just going to bring one up. This, when did the early Christians meet? Look at Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. It says, every day, I can stop right there if you want to. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily to those who were being saved. In honor of Christ's resurrection on Sunday, the early Christians observed Sunday not as the Christian Sabbath, but as a day to especially worship Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. We should worship God every day. Not just one day a week. Not just on Saturday, not just on Sunday, every day. And God made that day holy for His pleasure. Let's worship Him not only on the seventh day, but the other six as well. Yes, we'll hold that Sabbath. We're to rest. We are to take time for ourselves. There's a reason why people who have worked constantly over and over and over and over and over every day, 7 days a week, every day, continuing for weeks upon weeks, they become really unfunctional. I know just in a day span, if I work really hard, over 12, 14 hours, I become a little weird in the head because I'm just so exhausted. Imagine doing that for every day. So the question is, how do we apply this to us? I mean, yes, God says we take our day of rest. Let's think about this. It's easy to understand why the devil has waged a continuing, desperate battle against the seventh-day Sabbath. He has worked through the pride of tradition. Oh, you gotta work. Misinformation. Religious bigotry to destroy the sanctity of God's special sign of authority, which is the Sabbath. The devil will keep you, if you allow him, to keep you so busy, so concentrated on everything but him. My prayer is that God would grant the follower of Christ the courage to honor the Sabbath commandments as his special, not the right word, but test of love and loyalty. I mean, it may be a duty to keep the seventh day holy, but it should not be a burden. You should want rest. You should want to bless. You should want to be made that day holy so that we can spend time with God and His creation that He's done and look back on it. Seventh day always is a reminder. See, in the age of false gods and spirituality, of atheistic evolution, and the stubborn traditions of men, the world needs a Sabbath more than ever. And again, it is more than just a test of our loyalty to the Creator. It's more than just a sign of our sanctification through His power. It's a promise of a lasting, eternal gift of restoration. It's a reminder that Jesus Christ is always the same to yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That we need that day of rest to be reminded. See, evolutionists, man, they are anti-God. They are anti-Bible. They do what Romans 1 says is so deadly. They refuse to honor God. They refuse to give Him glory, so they bring on themselves, what Romans says, a debased mind. And they engage in unspeakable forms of foolishness, sexual perversion, homosexuality, and they delight in their wretchedness rather than delighting in the God of creation and the God of salvation. That's evolutionist. And as Pastor Dale said, if you, in order to believe the whole Bible, you have to believe in the six-day creation. And that seven-day rest is a day that's reminded by us to honor Him, to praise and worship Him. Someone said, I read an article, it said something about the Sabbath day was a seventh day, was a Saturday. And that's a day that we rested, so we're going to worship the Creator. But the first day of the week is the resurrection day, and that's when we start worshiping Christ. Now, I don't buy much into the way it was said, but the point is that it doesn't matter what day we worship the Lord, we need to worship it, and that we need to have it. Now, as a pastor, when I was a full-time pastor, I worked a Sunday. So what would be my Sabbath? What would be my day of rest? Right? So it's not, we want to do it on Sunday. That's the reason why that modern churches today, most of them, that's why you see different services. But let's keep the Sabbath a Sabbath. It's a time where we spend time with our Lord. It's a time to look at our Creator and what He has done for us and what He's done for the world. So that's evolutionist. How is it for us? Those who believe in the one true and living God, we believe in creation. And there's no week that goes by without a memorial. And there's no week that goes by without a witness. No week goes by without a testimony. No week goes by without a holy day. No week ever goes by without one day that points to God as the Creator. Every seventh day is that. Lastly, most of the commandments begin with the same words, "You shall not." But the fourth commandment is introduced with the word, "Remember." Why? Because God was commanding us to call something to memory that already existed but had been forgotten. Church, we have forgotten. And God says, "Remember." Let's not forget the Sabbath day the way God intended it to be. Make sure you rest. Remember why we have it. And worship our Creator, not just that day, but every day. But that day, that seventh day, is exalted. You see, I think that's what's on the heart of God as He blesses the seventh day. And I think that's what needs to be on our heart. So let's keep the Sabbath. Let's not forget all that God has done for us, that Jesus Christ has done for us. And we will make that day, this day, holy. And we ask this for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, there are many things that we tend to forget. Many things that we know we need to do and we don't. But this one, Lord, this one's so easy to lose track of because of our busy lives. And the devil makes it that way, and we have got to take hold of it. We have to remember the Sabbath. We have to remember to keep it, to rest, that You've blessed it, You've made it holy. You lift it above because it's a memorial, it's a remembrance of what You have done and what You've created. May God, may we have the heart that will take this day seriously. Father God, I ask, Lord, if there's any in this room who doesn't even know You as their Savior, that this day, today is the day, that they would come to know You. There's no special prayers. It's just asking them into their lives and that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need You and they can't do it without You. That Your bloodshed on Calvary washed away their sins. And the third day is what resurrects us as well. As You rose on the third day, we rise in newness of life. If there's anyone here that wants that, I pray that they would come to myself or Pastor Darrell afterwards. So not only we can rejoice with them, but we can help them with the next steps. But there's also in this room, Lord, today, and I would be wrong not to say it, that some of us, we don't even take a day to rest. That we're not observing You. We're not keeping the Sabbath holy. And Father God, I pray that that would stop today. That with the Holy Spirit's help, that we will make a constant effort to, from this day forward, to always keep the Sabbath holy. Thank You, Father, for all that You do. Thank You, Father, for all that You're going to do. And I pray, Father God, as we leave this place today, that we go out into our mission field, wherever that may be, and we share your love with others. We ask this in your name. Amen.